What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And on today's show, one of the original members of the show, John Kegley, is going to join us before the 4th of July weekend. Excited to have him here. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. Before we begin, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the hosts of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, we have a super fun show for you guys to get you into the weekend and get you into your 4th of July barbecues and all of that. Hopefully, you know, at home you're able to do something if you're stuck in, but we have a very fun show. We're going to start with running backs coach, the new running backs coach, Mark Ridgely, kind of talking about some of his running backs and look at the position as a whole and get his comments on some of those guys. And then in the second segment, we're going to be looking at an article from Gavino Borquez talking about four Chargers that will be impacted the most from the team missing those two extra preseason games because we just found out that the preseason has been cut short. And then to wrap up the show, we're going to do a little 4th of July segment where we're going to be talking about which player brought the most fireworks last season, which player could explode onto the scene in 2020, and then just generally who is the Chargers' most explosive players. So let's go ahead and get into it. This week, we got to hear from new Los Angeles Chargers running backs coach Mark Ridgely, who opened up about his group. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Chargers.com put together an article which is giving an overview of the Chargers running back group, and we got to hear from new running backs coach Mark Ridgely, who had some comments about his new stable of backs, and he had to start it with the guy who is taking over the lead role for the Chargers as we see it right now, who is Austin Eckler, coming off of a fresh four-year, $24 million deal with the Chargers. And David, he had a lot of great things to say about him.
Yeah, no, he definitely spoke very highly of Austin Eckler, but it is not very difficult to do so. He said, first and foremost, I just think of him as a person, unbelievable kid. And the thing I've been using him for as a motto for our young guys is just where he came from and how he got to where he is. I think he's a perfect example of coming in with nothing, and look what he has now after these last few years. Austin Eckler truly is a rags-to-riches story, Daniel. I mean, he went undrafted from a very small school, worked extremely hard, and earned his spot, and now look at him. He has a brand new contract, like you mentioned, and he's going to be the Chargers' lead back for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and then he was dynamic just as a receiver last year as well as being a running back. 92 passes, second in the NFL, only to Christian McCaffrey, and nobody had a better catch percentage than him, 85.2 on 108 targets with a minimum of 51 targets. So the production for Eckler speaks for himself. But the next guy he talked about, it's a little bit murkier on what his NFL future is going to be, because this is Justin Jackson, who has been explosive and had a really good start to the year last season before having it fizzle out due to injuries, David, and he has to stay healthy.
He definitely has to stay healthy, Daniel. That's the most important thing when discussing Justin Jackson as a player. In this article, they said he did not miss a single game while he was in college. Entering year three as a pro here with the Chargers, he's been injured pretty much his entire first two seasons. We've only seen flashes of brilliance from Justin Jackson, but he has yet to put it all together. Mark Ridgely said, this year's a big year for Justin. We've got to find a way to get him on the field and have him contribute. I think everyone in here saw what he can do when he's healthy. I think everyone who watched Justin Jackson play football can agree with that as well. The only thing that holds him back is his injuries. If he stays on the football field, I think he has proven that he can be an extremely explosive player in even limited reps.
Absolutely. I mean, Jackson had 142 yards on 18 carries to start the year in the first 3 weeks, which is 7.8 yards per carry. Also had a big touchdown call back, which would have raised his average even to more ridiculous levels. But the biggest question mark, I think, in this backfield right now is what the role is of Josh Kelly, the Chargers' fourth round pick, because there are some snaps to be picked up with the loss of Melvin Gordon.
Absolutely. The two running backs that are in the room with him are different kinds of backs. Joshua Kelly is more of an in-between-the-tackles type of runner, and those are the type of carries that are going to be missing with the absence of Melvin Gordon. So he's going to be the guy that's going to get those opportunities. We'll see how that gets split up. But one thing that Joshua Kelly has been able to show throughout his career is incredible perseverance. So he's going to work his way onto the field somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, he did have a game in college where he had 40 carries for 289 yards, so he can definitely be that workhorse if they need it. And Tom Telesco talked a little bit about why he took him, saying it was nice to see him really step up in the All-Star game against the best seniors in the country. That's part of our evaluation process. He's very well-rounded running back. We're looking forward to seeing him get in the mix. But it is going to be up to Mark Ridgely and Shane Steichen and Anthony Lynn to take this group of very talented players and find out the best way to get all of these guys snaps, because right now there are a ton of mouths to feed in a very talented running back group. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to get into four players that are going to be impacted the most by the Chargers missing two preseason games before wrapping the show up with a 4th of July special segment talking about the players who bring the most fireworks coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you ever need a car part and you have something wrong with your car, there's only one place to go to, and that is rockauto.com. I think everyone's had frustration when trying to find a part for their car. I've had instances where I've gone to two or three different places trying to find a particular part for my car and gotten three different prices from each of those places, and I think only one of them even had the part in store, and that was the one that was most expensive. Well, I can solve all that for you guys with rockauto.com, because they have so many parts and they take out the middleman, because they will send you the parts directly and give you the best prices as well. You can get anything from rockauto.com. You can get tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet if you need it. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? All you got to do is go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, guys, well, one of the things that has transpired over the last few days was something that was heavily rumored, and that is that the Chargers will have two less preseason games to get these young players on the field this season after the NFL decided that that was going to be the case. As of right now, there are still some more things that have to be worked out, but as of now, the Chargers are playing their weeks 2 and 3 games against the Rams and the Seahawks, but that is going to make things so much more difficult for this Chargers coaching staff to get some of these younger players on the field. And Gavino Borges came out with an article about four players who could suffer the most from a shortened preseason. The first one that comes up is free safety Nazir Adderley, who was injured most of last season and never really got his chance on the field during regular season games to kind of prove what he was worth. The second is Jerry Tillery, the first round pick from 2019, who struggled to really make an impact in quite a few snaps last year. Then we go to Trey Pipkins, the Chargers rookie left tackle, who they take in the 3rd round out of Sioux Falls. And then it's followed up with Justin Herbert. So, John, obviously, when you're talking about missing preseason games, that's always going to have an effect on a lot of players, right? Because there's a lot of players vying to make the team that have less chances now. But I understand why the NFL is doing it, trying to work these players into better shape to hopefully, I mean, save some of these guys from injuries and get them used to all the new NFL guidelines and things. But when you're looking at these four guys specifically, which one of those guys stands out to you the most as, you know, missing out on the most in this shortened preseason?
Well, individually, I would have to say it's got to be Nazir Adderley. After having the injury and the Chargers misdiagnosing it and just messing up the whole situation for him, this is probably his best chance to show he deserves to be a starter. And preseason games are usually how you do that, especially week one is usually the starters for like a couple of series, and then all the backups play for a long time. Week two, starters maybe get one series, but then the backups play the whole game. So Nazir Adderley could have had a bunch of playing time just with week one and week two alone. And then week three is when the starters play like almost all into the 3rd quarter. And then week 4 is when the scrubbies, like even guys like Nazir Adderley, don't play that much. But now by doing this, it's okay, who is really going to be playing in these preseason games? Is it going to be all the guys that you don't think are going to make the roster only? Or are you going to let some of your backups play as well? Nazir Adderley needed a lot and a lot of opportunities to show he deserves to be the starting free safety. But now he might just have to be a backup until next year.
Yeah, I think Nazir Adderley's a good pick. And it's a guy, it's frustrating because you don't want to see him go down the path of Forrest Lamp where, you know, things just keep happening and setting him back and he doesn't get that chance. But it's hard because the coaching staff is so high on Rayshon Jenkins, whether we understand it or not. I mean, they have their trust in him, and it's hard to see how exactly they're going to get Nazir Adderley on the field when they're still trying to find a place for Desmond King as well. So that's going to be very interesting to watch out for. But David, who do you think is impacted the most?
I mean, for me, I think the guy who gets impacted the most at another shortened off season and another shortened off season is Jerry Tillery. I mean, he comes into the league rehabbing a shoulder injury that he had in college that he had surgery for, that took him a long time to be able to even to get into games and try to get things done. But he wasn't that successful. He got overpowered very easily. Strength was a big problem. He only had 2 sacks, which, you know, they brought him in to be a pass rushing defensive lineman, and that did not really manifest last year. And now he goes into this year, and what do you see? Another shortened offseason, another offseason full of I don't know what's going to happen. He is going to have to really make the most of the opportunities that he gets in order for him to not allow these first 2 years in the league to compromise what his NFL career is going to look like.
Yeah, obviously the team was hoping that they could have Jerry Tillery in a full offseason, let him get his strength back. Since last year, he was still recovering from a shoulder injury when he came into camp, wasn't able to really put that size on and that mass that you need to play the position, and it showed at times because he got pushed around a little bit. I think it's honestly Justin Herbert. I mean, I think that's almost the obvious pick, just because if you're looking at what you're going to get from this guy, he's not going to have many opportunities on the field. I mean, after that week one kickoff happens, unless something happens to Tyrod or he's, you know, a disaster, you're not going to see him get on the field. So to be able to have him in the game, work on some 2-minute drills, which now, I mean, at most you'll be able to have like 4 end of half situations, and that's only if your team has the ball, right? So getting him on the field for those things, getting him on the field to see, you know, closer level to the speed he's actually going to see. I mean, if they could get him in early when some defensive starters are still on the field for the other team, because we really don't know how much these guys are going to play if it's only 2 games. I think that is just such an invaluable learning experience. You saw Cam Newton come in his rookie year, and he played terribly in the preseason, right? And he comes into the actual regular season, and he just balls out. So I think these games are so important for rookie quarterbacks. You're not going to have many chances to play Justin Herbert once the season begins if everything goes according to plan. So for him to kind of miss out on some playing time, even if it's against preseason guys, I do think that is very important in his development.
Not only that, but he doesn't get to build chemistry with his wide receivers, which for a guy who's really trying to vie for a starting opportunity, or at least the organization says that they're going to prepare him as if he's going to be able to get that chance, he's not going to be able to build that chemistry that's so important that we've seen with guys like Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates throughout the years, how powerful that can be. Justin Herbert's not going to be able to get that.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as chemistry goes, I mean, that is something that you can find a little bit just by going through practices. I mean, we've seen lots of quarterbacks, you know, primarily Tom Brady, who has even taken some heat from it, getting out there with his new guys and trying to find that chemistry. But it's obviously different when the guys on the other side, you know, trying to jam you at the line of scrimmage, and it's real live game action. So I think all of that is very important. But the other one that sticks out on this list is Trey Pipkins, because the Chargers were banking on a lot of development coming from Trey Pipkins this offseason, and there are reports out there that he's transformed his body, which I think is an obvious sign of a player who's trying to get better. So I definitely think that that is something that is, you know, something you can hang your hat on a little bit, as far as like, hey, look at this guy, you know, willing to put the work in. And I think that's a big thing, especially for a big guy. I would know, you know, trying to slim down, especially during, you know, a pandemic when you don't have full access to gyms and things like this. But his improvement is so vital to the season if he is still going to be the Chargers' left tackle, as we all believe, you know, he has the inside track to do right now. So not being able to have him on the field for more snaps, I mean, the preseason is another place where he could have gotten a lot more time as well, just because obviously you don't want him out there too much because he's your starting left tackle and you don't want him to get hurt. But those are such valuable snaps. But I really think, John, that it spans to not just, you know, Trey Pipkins on the left side, because with all of the new pieces on this offensive line and the new coach, like the whole offensive line is going to be hurt by this shortened preseason.
Absolutely, they are. By not having preseason games, even if it's just a couple of drives, you don't get that game film and that chemistry and that just ability to be able to understand what each teammate is going to do in a certain situation. If 3 guys come on a blitz and you don't know which guy's going to get picked up by the guy on your right, guy on the left, you're not gonna have a strong regular season. But if you can get like even two drives in on a preseason game and just look at that game film, be able to look at your guy and go, hey, next time I'm gonna take this guy, you take that guy. Just that little bit right there makes a huge difference in the regular season. And you brought in Brian Bulaga, Trey Turner, Mike Pouncey coming back from injury. Not to mention Dan Feeney's not the greatest guy in the world, and he needs to really mold. And then you don't know who the left tackle is going to be. Is it going to be Trey Pipkins? Are they going to want to use Sam Tevy? Is it going to be Trent Scott?
Forrest Lamb.
Or Forrest Lamb. I mean, there's just so much you can do with that. And whoever it is needs to have that chemistry to go with all those guys and a new coach. Your offense relies on the offensive line, and if they can't get their stuff together because of shortened preseason, nobody else is going to get their stuff together.
James Campen has a very tall task in front of him with this offensive line in this shortened offseason. He's really going to have to evaluate and tweak and make the most of all the time he has with all of his guys.
And the other thing is there's still a couple of positions up for grab, like you talked about, John. I mean, do we have faith in the Chargers coaching staff that they can find out which one of these guys is actually the best in this short amount of time, right? I mean, they need to get as many reps as possible to try to decide who the blindside protector from first year, you know, full-time starting quarterback Tyrod Taylor or even Justin Herbert, the rookie. I mean, such an important position, the left guard position, right? I mean, if you're Dan Feeney, this is the like fourth year that you've had to be, you know, fighting for your starting job, and that's just because of a lack of performance. So the fact that he is, you know, hasn't cemented that job by now, I think almost makes me want to just give it to someone else because we've seen what he's done with those opportunities. But the team and the coaching staff seem very bullish on him. Obviously, to anyone who's watching it, he does not seem like the answer. And it's pretty hard to be a young quarterback or a first-year starting quarterback like Tyrod Taylor with the Chargers and have no trust in that left guard position, because guess what? If your left guard gets beat, you're in trouble in a hurry, and it doesn't matter, you know, the escapability of Tyrod Taylor. Everything gets a little muddled when it's coming up the A-gap, you know, or up the middle. So I think that's all things that have to be kind of worked out, and they're just going to have a lot less time to do it and find that chemistry and find just the five best guys, the five guys that work the best together out on the field before week one. So we'll see what happens, but obviously everyone is going to be impacted in some way or another. It'll be very interesting to see how much some of these guys play, because there's only two games to split it up to as of now, and we don't even know if that's going to happen for sure yet. But we do have one more segment to get into, because we're gonna have a 4th of July special segment talking about the most explosive players, talking about who brought the fireworks for the Chargers last season and who could explode onto the scene this season, coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, first, let me just wish everyone going into the weekend a happy 4th of July. Be safe. You know, don't get out there and do anything stupid. No Jason Pierre-Paul is out there. Please, definitely don't want to see that. But I did think it would be a fun opportunity, and David said, let's do a 4th of July segment. I thought it was a good idea, and the only thing I could think of when trying to think of the 4th of July, you know, besides just, you know, red, white, and blue and all of that other good stuff, barbecues, all that stuff, was fireworks, right? That's the main thing. So it got me thinking, who was the player that brought the most fireworks to the Chargers last season? So I want to ask both of you guys this, but John, I will start with you. In 2019, there was definitely some explosive playmakers on the Chargers, but who do you think brought the most fireworks?
I would go with Austin Ekeler. He made a lot of big plays, including week one, all those big plays he made to go with three touchdowns, including the overtime game winner, the long touchdown against the Jaguars, even the touchdown against Denver where Melvin Gordon and Ekeler both ran out for routes, but Ekeler took off of the field and both of the DBs covered Melvin Gordon. There's just Ekeler wide open for the touchdown. He made a lot of big plays in his third year, and he's really, really showing that he could be the guy when it comes to playmaking. So I'd have to go with him.
Yeah, and the thing about Austin Ekeler is just, it's crazy to think about, you know, him playing against such lesser athletes where he went to college at Western State, you know what I mean? So it's just seeing him out on the field and thinking back to when this coaching staff must have first saw Austin Ekeler on the field and realized, hey, this guy might have came from a small school, but he absolutely hangs on this level, and he's shaking some of our best defenders, and he's just so hard to bring down. He's so small, so compact, so strong, and I mean, he's just a big play waiting to happen, and the nice thing about it is he can take a ball that's 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage and take it to the house. I mean, that's the type of playmaking he has, and when you're talking about fireworks, we definitely saw a lot of them from Austin Ekeler last season. David, who do you think brought the most fireworks in 2019?
Well, another guy that brought a lot of fireworks in 2019 was Mike Williams. We saw Mike Williams go explosive catch after big catch after Moss catch all season long, and he did all of that while playing hurt. He went over 1,000 yards receiving for the first time in his NFL career. He had an insane 20.4 yards per reception average, which was tops in the NFL. And yeah, he only had two touchdowns, but anytime Phillip Rivers was in trouble, he knew he could just throw it up to Mike Williams, even if it wasn't even relatively that close to him. And he can trust that Mike Williams was going to do everything in his power to be able to go grab that ball and come down with it and make a big play. And I just thought he did that all year long. He brought the fireworks all season last year.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, if you're leading the league in average yards per reception, you're doing something right and you're making big plays. And it just seemed like any time the Chargers offense got bogged down and they really needed to flip the field and create a scoring opportunity, even though he wasn't scoring the touchdowns last year when he only had two, they always went to Mike Williams. And it was, you know, the classic, uh-oh, here comes the 50-50 ball to Mike Williams. And it truly was a 50-50 ball. I mean, you really didn't know who was going to come out with it. But some of the catches he ended up making in some of those situations were absolutely ridiculous. So I don't hate the pick there at all. And I would say my dark horse name for this exact category would be Phillip Rivers, right? And I think, you know, we talked about before the show, not all fireworks had to be good fireworks, right? So Phillip Rivers was the cause of most of the explosive plays that happened for the Chargers last year, whether it was, you know, starting the 85-yard screen pass to Austin Ekeler or launching those bombs to Mike Williams. He also had the most explosive plays for the other team a lot of times too, with
80-yard touchdown.
And I bring that down with a 20 interception. So I think when you're talking about the overall package of explosiveness, Phillip Rivers was as volatile as they come last season. A lot of times it ended up in good things happening, and a lot of times it ended up with bad things happening. But that takes us to our next question, which is, which Charger could explode onto the scene in 2020? So this is not a segment or part of the segment meant for a player who has kind of already established an extended run of dominance in the league, but somebody who we could really start talking about a lot more after this season. So David, who do you think could explode onto the scene in 2020?
Well, you look at that Chargers defense, and there is a lot of explosive playmakers up and down, but not so much in the middle. But now there is, and that's why my guy is Kenneth Murray, the Chargers rookie first-round linebacker out of Oklahoma. This guy has all the makings, all the talent, all the abilities to come in and be an explosive player and definitely explode on the scene here in 2020. You look at his college stats, and this guy is everywhere. In his sophomore season, he had 155 tackles, okay? This guy can run sideline to sideline. He's got crazy speed. He is a menace. And oh, by the way, he has 9.5 sacks and 36.5 tackles for loss in his college career. This guy has amazing ability, can come in to the middle of this defense and really solidify this defense as a top five defense contender. Kenneth Murray, if he's firing on all cylinders, he is definitely going to be someone fun to watch in 2020.
And I think he could have been a candidate for the last segment too, as a guy who could be hurt by this shortened preseason. We've seen a lot of middle linebackers come into the league, not Drew Tranquil, I mean, as of last year, but Devin Bush, Devin White, Rashawn Evans, so many really, really good linebackers come into the league. Roquan Smith is another guy that comes to mind, and it takes them a little bit to get their footing. Definitely they think Murray could be hurt by that as well, but I also think he could be, you know, somebody to bring up in our next award we're going to give out, so to speak, as well. But John, who do you think is going to explode onto the scene potentially in 2020?
I think it's got to be Joe Reed. I feel like he's got to be that third wide receiver, and he's got to be used in a bunch of different ways, whether it's running the reverse or just a simple wide receiver screen, going deep, crossing route, all these type of things. If he gets the ball in his hands, he's got to be the guy that's going to be taken off for a 40-yard gain, even if it's not for a touchdown, even if he only gets two touchdowns the whole season. I bet his all-purpose yards is going to look really nice this year.
When I think with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback, like, you need someone that doesn't have to run a deep route to get deep yard results, right? So having players that can take short passes and create chunk yardage out of that, I think, is very important. And, I mean, just having a guy like him on kick returns, right? he's definitely going to add some to the kick return game. I mean, his eyes in the open field and the way he's able to navigate traffic was truly special in college. But I think there's also a few other candidates as well. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Nazir Adderley so much already, so I don't want to use him. But even a guy like Uchenna Nwosu, you know, if he somehow finds a way to get some snaps this year, I think we could like what we see a lot, you know, and feel a lot better of the prospect of both of the Chargers' edge rushers being unrestricted free agents after the season. And I think another guy is Jerry Tillery. If he makes that next step, I think he is absolutely going to get the snaps to be able to kind of prove if he actually has made legitimate progress this year. And if he puts, you know, a 7-sack, 8-sack season up there, he'll definitely be exploding onto the scene. So I think those are the guys that, you know, one of those guys should have the opportunity, the other one we don't know. And hey, what if Justin Herbert has to come in midway and leads, you know, the Chargers to a string of victories? I mean, that's exploding on the scene to me, but lots of guys to choose from in that aspect. But I do have one more thing I want to get into, which is just who is the most explosive player on this team? I think if you look at the type of explosiveness that is on the Chargers roster right now compared to a few years ago, as far as how much athleticism and explosiveness the Chargers have brought in, it's night and day. I think the difference is a very large difference. But John, if you're looking at the Chargers roster right now and you had to pick somebody who you thought was the most explosive player on the team, who would you pick?
I'd have to go back to Austin Ekeler again, but I mean, just for the sake of making this show fun, I'm going to go with Joey Bosa, just because of how explosive he is off the line, how he gets past offensive linemen and gets into the quarterback, how he can just take one offensive lineman and push him straight back into the QB with little to no effort. He's got to be the most explosive out of the stance type of player.
When I think when you look at and see the stats, like, you know, him leading the NFL since 2017 in pressures under 2 seconds, I mean, that's pretty damn explosive right there. I think obviously the obvious guy in my mind for this one is Derwin James, right? I mean, it's just, he's so fun to watch. He brings so much to the table. You look at his only full season in the NFL, 3 interceptions, 13 passes defensed, 3.5 sacks, over 100 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 6 quarterback hits. I mean, he absolutely fills up the stat sheet. And to me, it's not even those plays that are really the most explosive. It's him coming up on a running back in the flat and absolutely planting them into the ground with a pure form tackle. And just having a guy who is explosive enough to get over the top of a receiver or at least catch up to somebody that gets behind him, while also being explosive enough to drop down on a pass up in front of him and get a pick and change the game in that direction, or also lay the wood if he has to.
Or the explosive personality to be a leader on defense. Totally. If you see the way that guy's been a leader, his attitude is explosive as well. I mean, I know that sounds kind of weird to say, but there's not many guys that can just show up and be that high energy type of guy and just explode onto the scene with that kind of attitude and just take over the whole team, have everyone rally around him.
Yeah, he really had that from the moment he stepped on the field. He said that he was going to be a leader. Melvin Ingram said, hey, not so fast, young buck, and look where we are now, right? He went and did it. And now, you know, nobody would question his leadership at all. But David, do you have another person you would want to throw into the mix as the most explosive player on the Chargers?
Yeah, I got two guys in mind really quickly. Melvin Ingram, obviously, it just ain't a freak athlete, an explosive athlete. The guy can do everything on the football field, from throwing 70-yard passes to picking people off to sacking the quarterback. I mean, the guy wants to play every position. He wants to play tight end. If you hear Melvin Ingram talk, he can play every position on the field. I like the fact that the Chargers social media team, I think, put Melvin Ingram at every spot on the team. At one point, put him at every spot on both offense and defense. And it's crazy to think, but you can actually envision him playing every spot and probably having some level of success. And another guy is just an explosive hitter. When Denzel Perryman is on and he meets a running back in the hole like you were talking about, he can absolutely run through somebody and make incredible contact. So when he is on, Denzel Perryman, definitely an explosive tackler.
Yeah, we've seen him lay the wood a few times. I mean, obviously, that part of his game has never been the problem. But when he connects with you, you're going to feel it, right? So I definitely don't hate those picks at all. I think we really saw Melvin Ingram's explosiveness and just his versatility and him, you know, just interjecting himself into so many different plays that he should have really never been a part of when Joey Bosa was injured, and how many hats he wore for this team and excelled at. So I really like all of those answers. The Chargers now have a lot more explosive players than they've had in years past, and I think they could honestly still probably use some more speed on their team, just generally speaking, but they have come a long way as well. But that's going to wrap up our 4th of July segment and our 4th of July show. Everyone be safe this weekend, but we'll be back with you on Monday. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify. We would really appreciate it. And if you guys want to get your voicemails on the show, we need a couple more voicemails. The number is 323-524-7924. You can also text the voicemail line as well and send us your text, and we'll use them for a fan mail show as well. But we'll be back with you guys on Monday. Have a safe, fun weekend. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.